The Pat Kenny Show
with Timber Living Log Cabins.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. on News Talk. Conversation that counts.
Joined by Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, GP and clinical lead at Women's Medicine at the BlackRock Health Women's Health Centre. And she's an expert on women's health issues, and particularly she wants to concentrate today on some of the myths and misconceptions around treatments for menopause. Caoimhe, good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
First of all, is it inevitable that you have menopause and that you notice, or do some women sail through?
So what menopause is just the medical term for your final period. That's just it's the medical term for your last period. Whether or not you develop symptoms around that, there's multiple factors, maybe genetic, maybe environmental, maybe lifestyle. I think it's really important that women know that at least a fifth of women aren't symptomatic. Now, their periods will stop, so they will notice. Yeah. They'll notice something has changed. But not everybody gets the classic, you know, hot flushes and night sweats and a change in mood and all of the other myriad of symptoms that we know go with
menopause.
So there's
a spectrum, really, from severe
to hardly
noticing at all.
Yeah, there's a huge spectrum of different symptoms. For some women, it's very physical. For some, it's very emotional and mental symptoms. For other women, it might be more sexual dysfunction. For some poor women, it's all of the above. But a good 20% of women, their periods stop and they feel fine and on they go.
And the question of treatments, I mean, is HRT now sort of standard?
So it depends what you are treating and what your priorities are and what your goals are. So if someone comes into my clinic and they're symptomatic, it's really important to take a thorough, concise history from them and to try and figure out what it is that is bothering them most. What are they worried about? What are their priorities? I might get distracted thinking, well, the woman has mentioned that she's hot flushes, we have to get rid of them. But actually for her, it's the mood changes that are bothering her most. Or it might be that she's not symptomatic at all, but she's really concerned about her bone health and heart health and that kind of thing. So you focus on what you are treating and what the outcomes wanted by the patient.
So is it necessary for every woman at that particular age to have bone density tests, for instance?
Yes and no. So that's, I suppose, a discussion about risk factors around bone density. Everybody over the age of 60 should have a bone density, at least a baseline bone density, or a DEXA scan, it's called. For younger women, if they're postmenopausal, their periods have stopped and they have risk factors for bone density loss. So things like smoking or maybe a family history or maybe things like celiac or diabetes, we would consider doing a DEXA a little bit earlier.
And now on the cosmetic front, hair, does the quality of hair change?
It can do. Now, that's driven by a few different things. There's aging, genetic factors, smoking, and, you know, we lose about a third of our collagen production when we lose our estrogen production, which happens with menopause. So that has an impact on skin and hair. Now, unfortunately, putting somebody on HRT and you're kind of replacing some of that estrogen they've lost doesn't, you know, completely reverse the effects of things like aging and the changes in hair and skin, but it might help.
Now, some of the questions that are flooding in now. At 66, am I too old to start HRT, even at a low dose? I still have lots of menopause symptoms, can't sleep, brain fog, hot flushes, fatigue, joint stiffness.
That sounds hard to live with, doesn't it? So the bottom line is that there is no upper age limit for starting HRT. So there's no age at which you are technically too old to start hormone therapy. If you are symptomatic, and if we feel this is truly due to hormone changes and a loss of estrogen, then yes, absolutely, HRT is something that this woman might benefit from. We know for younger women, it's interesting with HRT, there's a thing called a window of opportunity. So if you're under the age of 60, within 10 years of your last period, we may see some improvement in heart health for women who start HRT. So for this woman, she might be outside of that window, but her symptoms would improve.
Any stats and science on breast cancer and HRT?
Lots of stats and science around breast cancer and HRT. The problem is when you're saying HRT, which is hormone replacement therapy, there's a lot of different types of HRT. So we have Premarin, which is the old conjugated equine estrogen. It was made from horses, pregnant mares' urine. That's where the estrogen was derived from. So that was involved in, that was the estrogen that was used in the big Women's Health Initiative study done in the 90s. They published their results in the early 2000s. That's where most of our data has come from. Now, we've had lots of studies since. They just haven't been on the same scale, looking at more modern types of HRT. So what we use now, generally speaking, is HRT or estrogen that we give through your skin in the form of patches or gels or sprays. And it's not from, it's not equine urine anymore. Thankfully, we use estrogen that is a mimic or very, very similar to the estrogen that our ovaries make. And that has a big impact on things like breast cancer and what we know about breast cancer. So there is a small increased risk of breast cancer for women who take what's called combination HRT. So if they're taking two hormones, estrogen, which is the bit that makes them feel better, and a second hormone, progestin, to protect their womb. And women will have the small increased risk of breast cancer related to how long they take their HRT for. Women who have no womb, they take estrogen on its own and they don't seem to have the same increased breast cancer risk.
As I say, the questions are shooting in. I'm a woman in my 20s and my periods are not regular. Should I be worried about perimenopause?
So that's complicated because obviously perimenopause is generally something we would associate more with women in their 40s who've previously had regular periods. So this woman is a little bit younger. It could still be perimenopause because, again, that can happen at any age. But I think it would be important to take a thorough history and see, well, what were her periods like before this happened, and what other differential might we consider? So things like polyendocrine metabolic syndrome, it used to be called PCOS, can cause some change in your periods, changes in thyroid hormones, changes in your weight, your exercise, your diet, all those things can also impact how regular your periods are.
Hearing a lot about supplements on social media and wondering, are there any plans you'd recommend?
So supplements is a big industry and something to be aware of. We know that there's some evidence for vitamin D, and that's recommended by the HSE that all adults are on a vitamin D supplement, particularly through the winter months. And that's part of protecting your bone health. Outside of that, it's really individual, and some women might benefit from certain supplements. So it's a really individualized discussion. I would be conscious of not recommending anything that is based just on anecdote.
Okay. You need a proper evidence base. Therefore have to, for example, check, do they need iron? You know,
that's what I mean. So certain, if you're a celiac, for example, which is very common in Ireland, that would be associated with some iron deficiency. And that's someone who might benefit from an iron rich diet or an iron supplement if needed. Sometimes creatine, there's some evidence for creatine in women who do resistance training and so on. So there's certain supplements in certain situations, but we do not broadly recommend any one particular supplement for everyone other than vitamin D.
One of the texters asking about painful sexual activity, and is there anything specifically for that?
Again, depends on the woman in particular and what her risk factors for different issues might be. So for the women who've stopped having periods, postmenopausal women, we often think of things like vaginal dryness and changes in the vulvovaginal architecture and anatomy that can contribute to having painful sex. They often really benefit from low-dose vaginal estrogen, which is really, really safe. But for other women, we might think of other skin conditions like lichen sclerosus, which is an autoimmune skin condition affecting the vulval tissue, thrush, for example, that a lot of women would be very familiar with. So it's quite a broad differential. The most important thing is that you are examined and that a really good thorough history is taken from you.
Can the symptoms that you describe that some women have for menopause, can they mask other conditions?
Oh, they can.
You think,
yeah,
this is happening to me because I'm menopausal, yeah, but it may in fact be something else entirely.
Yeah. So, I mean, things like fatigue, I guess, would be, there's quite a broad differential there for things that can cause fatigue, like sleep apnea, iron deficiency, all of these things. So it's important that we cast the net sort of wide when we're looking at what we might be considering, you know, to be causing these symptoms. But the other classic one would be night sweats. So I'm often conscious of if there's someone who's maybe a bit older or they're more than a few years from their last period and they develop new night sweats. It could be hormonal change, but it's also likely to be due to other things. So it's important that they maybe get bloods and investigations.
Now, you mentioned using hormone replacement therapy and patches.
Mm.
I mean, are there localized treatments that people use, that they use a patch in place A rather than place B?
So the patches
are... I know this
are,
doesn't sound very technical.
It's
but
okay. I know what you're getting at. So the patches are systemic. So when you put a patch on your lower back, your bum or your tummy, that's where they're typically placed, they release this estrogen, 17 beta estradiol, into your system. And that has an effect then everywhere. So there's some evidence that putting the patches on your bum, you actually absorb that estrogen a little bit better.
So it's really about the efficacy of,
exactly,
of, yeah, delivery rather than having any
treating
localized effect.
Other than vaginal estrogen, so we do have creams, pessaries and gels that are used vaginally. So they're either inserted or applied to the vulvovaginal tissue. They release estrogen very much locally, so it doesn't get into your system, which is why localized estrogen is so safe.
I'm trying to communicate to my team that my screens have gone blank, so I can't read any of the questions. It tells me that it's adding some updates to my system.
We'll battle on.
We'll battle on. The question of whether someone should go for HRT. Because, you know, people would rather not take stuff if they can possibly avoid stuff.
Yeah. So one question I get asked a lot by patients who come in is if they're not symptomatic. So they may be postmenopausal, they may have stopped having periods, all of their friends are on HRT, but they actually feel really well. And so they wonder, well, the FOMO, like, am I missing out? Am I going to come back in 10 years?
Am I going to feel really terrific if I take this?
Could I feel even better? Exactly. Yeah. But also, am I going to miss out on something from a health perspective? So if, am I going to look back in 10 years and think, I wish I had started HRT? Now, that's tricky because it's quite nuanced. It's very individual and it's not black and white. So the current guidelines would say, look, HRT is indicated to treat and manage symptoms of menopause, to make someone feel better.
So it's not sort of a preemptive thing. I know I'm going to be menopausal. I'll start this now, because that might even stop you. Would it stop you actually becoming menopausal?
No.
Or delay menopause?
No, not necessarily. So it won't have an impact on what your ovaries are actually doing. There is an indication to start HRT if you have a diagnosis of osteoporosis. So if you have definite osteoporosis and you're under 60 and you're symptomatic, then HRT is definitely indicated. But I suppose where the confusion can come about is women who are worried about protecting their bone health long term, and they're maybe worried about their heart health. They've heard that HRT is great for heart health, but it's not good enough, we think, at this point, for that to be the only reason that you go on it, because we're offsetting, there's risks as well with it, although the risks are small, but you're trying to weigh up that balance of benefit and risk on an individual basis.
So what does menopause do to heart health?
So when you lose estrogen, estrogen actually has a really protective effect on our blood vessels and on our heart. And it seems to help us regulate things like blood pressure, cholesterol, all of that kind of thing. And when you lose estrogen, we do see a change in women's vascular system and the development, slow development of heart disease over time. Now, that's also impacted by, do you smoke? What's your cholesterol, your family history, your lifestyle, multitude of different things, not just hormones.
So it looks like every woman really needs a bespoke solution.
I think that's what it comes down to, is that you can't have a broad sweeping statement that just, you know, gives advice to every menopausal woman. We're all complete individuals. Like, women's health for a long time has suffered due to that and due to anecdotal evidence and nothing more.
A final question, which I've got in on pen and paper. Is there a link between breast pain and postmenopause?
So breast pain is something we'd link more with perimenopause, when your estrogen levels are flying up and down. It's quite common to see breast pain happen at that point. I mean, if you've a new breast symptom of any sort, now breast pain tends to not be the biggest red flag when it comes to breast symptoms, but any new breast symptom, I would absolutely go down to your GP and have a discussion about it.
Dr. Caoimhe Hartley, a clinical lead at Women's Medicine and a GP at BlackRock Health Women's Centre, thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
With Timber Living Log Cabins.